Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
James is playing outstanding right now. Our O-line's giving him a lot of holes, but he's just making some unbelievable cuts and outrunning people and just doing what James Cook does.
Hand off to Cook, through a hole, and darts it to the open, and he is G-O-N-E gone. 20, 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook.
I mean, when you got James Cook, just let him cook.
Pitch play left. Hook through another hole. 15, 10, 5, and scampers into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown run by James Cook.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Here's the snap. Back to pass. And it's intercepted by A.J. Epinesa. Going the other way. 10, 5, and he's dropped at the 1-yard line. Back to pass. Steps up in the pocket, but he's wrapped up and dragged down by Joey Bosa, who drops him for the sack.
It was unbelievable. They felt like they had something to prove going out there and forcing some turnovers, giving us a couple short fields. That's the standard that we have for ourselves, and that's what we expect every time we step on the field.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, Football Monday is here. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bills 40, Carolina Panthers 9. What a score. Post-game did not exactly sound like fans were, as you know, your mom and dad would say, over the moon. It sounded more like, yeah, I just feel the problems they're going to have are still their problems. And I don't know why this game would have changed that. I mean, is it just James Cook's team? When James Cook, I just hit the table. Sorry, I wasn't trying. That was not a point of emphasis. Just a random flail. I know the whole thing about like running backs and how their stats correlate to winning, but when he has, if you will, gotten off in games, they've won them all, usually by double digits or 31, also double digits. If he doesn't, they lose. So is this the whole thing? Is our game manager quarterback just could be anybody, and it's just like this is all going to – but it is, right? It's all just going to come down to James Cook because that's how they want it.
I don't know. Who's they?
Oh.
Good question. I'm not sure. I think right now it is – you know, James Cook is the thing that makes the motor go, and it has been that way. Sorry, I don't want to mix up running back nicknames here because the last guy was motor. Anyway, Cook makes it go. He certainly did yesterday, and he has, by and large, for really since Joe Brady took over, been sort of the main engine that drives this thing. But I'm paying particular attention to how Sean McDermott talks about this right now. That's why I say who is they exactly, because
interesting.
He was asked yesterday after the game about loving running the ball or something, and he said, "I never said that." I know the value of having a balanced offense, like an offense that can do all the things. And so I don't know. I feel like that's a subtle acknowledgement, or maybe not that subtle acknowledgement, of the frustration he might be feeling with how the passing game still looks.
Or it could just be a line.
Could be. I think he's on team get me a receiver, McDermott. That's what I'm driving at. I've suspected that for a while. I know it's contrary to everything that he has come to represent within the organization, right? Defensive guy. You know, he did supervise the dismissal of Ken Dorsey and the installment of Joe Brady and this offense that has become this style of offense. But I still think he's probably looking at the game back today or last night and seeing a lot of the same things, only with a lot more clarity because he's watching the game tape and he's a football coach. And I'll bet he's plenty frustrated with what their passing offense looks like, because their passing offense does not look good.
This is really interesting, because we've been here in the same room for all these years, even long before McDermott arrived. I just don't give him that benefit of the doubt, and maybe I should, but we've had these conversations before where, like, I don't believe at all that they're not playing the way he wants. Like, why would they be playing other than the way he wants? Like, that's sort of his image, if not really what he wants from his team. He's just never convinced me as somebody that wants to really open it up. I think Daboll might have a little bit dragged him into that, and it went so well. I mean, Allen being so good, how could you refuse him, you know, in terms of passing volume and quality and all that? Like, all right, if this is how it is, then this is how it is. We're winning all the time. But I don't know. I feel like Brady is... I guess I'm just guessing, mostly, but we're also immersed in this every day, mm-hmm. listening to every comment and everything. I just can't buy that they're not the team he wants them to be in this way. And I think, you know, he's gotten much more adept at the press conferences, where it's like, oh, what do you mean?
Well,
he laughed about it yesterday.
I might need to, you know, fine tune this a little bit, because I don't think he necessarily wants them to go back to throwing it 60% of the time or anything. I think the league changed and they reacted, I think, to that change. And I would even say maybe appropriately. But I think I know the value in having an offense that can do, you know, that can run and throw effectively. To me, I think he wants to run. He doesn't want to throw the running game fish back into the lake. He likes that fish. They caught that fish and they are using that very effective. It's feeding a lot of people. So it's worth talking about. Everybody eats. I mean, the running game is happening for them. I don't think there's any way you could objectively be satisfied with their passing game. So I don't know. I'm very much on alert for an ad.
Well, this is really another one of these what are we trying to figure out moments. Are we trying to figure out whether they will trade for somebody? You can't figure that out. Whether he wants them to, whether they will, mm-hmm. you know, sure. That's easily a conversation worth having. Is he frustrated or whatever you want to call it about what they are? I don't know. Like, that's really not so much in the embodiment of McDermott, but this is our conversation every day, every week, every time about just sort of if the Bills, this goes through Bean more than it goes through McDermott, if the Bills are who they want to be. That's it. Like, in a nutshell, that's it. Are they who they want to be? And, I mean, they lose two games. This is going to be sitting there for you, okay? They lose two games, they go to the bye, they come out of the bye, and their running back goes for 216 on the ground. I mean, it's not a fluke. Who you play, game script, I know. Like, that, Cook could have gone for 300.
Probably.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
If they just kept him in, if Carolina gave him any pushback.
Yeah.
He goes for, like, NFL record stuff yesterday, maybe. It was so easy.
Yeah. Well, I just think... A lot of that does sound, like, without being, like, overly critical of your stance, that just sounds like, to me, a place you stand because it's what we've known from the outside. And I'm not telling you I know anything on the inside. I'm just listening to the guy talk, and I think, objectively, it would shock me if he's happy with the entirety of their offense right now. I think he has to know. He's been in these games. He's seen how they've ended. He's watched his defense get torn apart by Kansas City. I think he may know they're going to have to get better at throwing the ball, and I don't know where those solutions are going to come from. Are there just going to be different things drawn up? Is that going to mean Dalton Kincaid can play more than 20% of the snaps in a given game if his health is up to say, like, is that what we need? I just think it's hard to objectively look at them and not see a need and maybe even a crying need for something to jumpstart their pass game. Because what they have right now, if they get into a spot, you know, and I don't want to say when, because you never know. Maybe they could just run it on everyone. Boy, I'm sorry. I just did the thing you did, and I'm not doing it for effect. I don't know. Is something loose today?
I don't know, maybe.
Something feels weird. Anyway, because that was not. I know how to bang this table when I want effect. Anyway.
Well, mine's been coming apart gradually forever. Like, there's pieces missing and... I don't know if you have any excuse, but I think
I don't know what I think. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I lost my train of thought because I got distracted by all the noise I made unintentionally.
How do you expect Allen to feel? What is Allen thinking? We're fine?
No.
I mean, the clip right there, it wasn't his whole press conference, but it's like James Cook, James Cook, James Cook, James Cook, James Cook, let him cook. I mean, that's what he's here for. Allen is just to like, huh?
Well, I mean, it's not a day where, and I don't know when that day would be, that Josh Allen's going to sit there and say, I need more help in my passing game. So, like, that is never going to happen.
He's never going to say that.
No, not, right? Certainly not publicly.
It's not his style.
But I think I'd be surprised if they haven't already had long conversations with him about what is happening in that part of their offense specifically. And again, I mean, they scored their 40 points. It's not a day for anyone within the team to go on a campaign for what we need and what our shortcomings are. They won 40-9. So
leave that to us.
I would likewise be surprised if Josh Allen, like if I've got a meter and I'm measuring how much different personalities, different coaches or players want or feel they need some juice somewhere in the offense. I think, you know, McDermott might be like percolating. I think Allen would be almost at a boil already because he does not look himself back there on passing downs when there is time even. Like, I think there's a, it sounds like they lost this game already, and I've been talking for 6 minutes.
Know that they didn't.
I think there's a real issue there. I think I'd be very surprised if there's not some frustrated people involved with that passing game. Allen front and center. Which is all the more reason why I'm expecting them to go into the marketplace and try to make something happen. Again, I don't know how much we'll find out if nothing happens. Obviously, if they make a move, then we'll know. We'll have a sign. They made a move.
It's next Tuesday?
Right.
Wasn't last year's trade before the deadline?
It was, and the deadline was a couple of weeks earlier. They've moved it back. There had been for a few years, every year around the time of the deadline, there had been some conversation. You know, just move it back a little bit. It's a little too early. Teams, you know, fewer teams know they're eliminated. Fewer teams know whether they want to be buyers or not. So they pushed it back. I don't know if it's a week or 2 weeks, but they did. It's never been in November before. It's always been in October.
So what are you hoping they do?
Something that is Rashid Shaheed or higher.
Rashid Shaheed.
Rashid Shaheed or higher. I feel like he's my floor. I guess I would consider someone like Jacoby Myers on a floor below that from an impact standpoint. Shaheed has not been the all-around receiver I think Myers has been in his career, but he does represent an element that they simply do not have in this offense, which is someone to really just get down the field.
Right. Shaheed represents that. Myers does not.
Right. I think Myers is just kind of like, Myers to me feels like a guy like they already have three of.
Myers is what you do if Shakir goes down for the year or
sure.
Something like Oliver maybe
did.
Like you replace him with somebody that can kind of play the same role, but that isn't what's happened. You could be talking about replacing Coleman.
That is mostly what I'm talking about. Replacing him, creating a scenario where he is not the guy who leads them in snaps.
You know what? I guess I have to say I'd be impressed if they did that. Because that is a power move. Like, that is, oh, it's the opposite of what you would normally hear. Just sort of development and patience and, you know, how many times did Brandon Bean remind us over the offseason how young Coleman is? And this would be like, yeah, we don't care anymore. No more questions about his age.
We don't care anymore, or we don't care right now.
Well, like, right.
But right now, meaning I can choose to care about it again later.
You guys forget. No one forgot. You guys forget. He's only 21. No one forgot. We know he's young. That's right. If he's 23, is that different? If he's 24, is that different? If he's, you know, one of these other receivers that gets drafted when they're 2 or 3 years, who cares? Like, they're 1 year in the league. You guys, no one forgot. So maybe this would be like, you're putting that on hold, I guess. That's right. What they would say.
Yeah.
They're not going to just cut him.
And maybe that's exactly what they'd be doing. You know, it would not be a good sign for Coleman's development, obviously. But what am I trying to do? Am I trying to protect his his value, his development, over making sure I have enough juice to win the AFC for the first time since 1993? I mean, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to do that. That's what I'm trying to do. So I know you always have to have these concurrent agendas going, because the team is not always, you know, just always about the singular season that they happen to be in. But I think you got to find a way to better meld those two things. And whatever it means to Coleman's development, I think I have to live with, because if I don't have enough, and I'm running out of, I got one more game before this, deadline, and it's against the Chiefs.
How about that?
Right.
Coincidence.
I think it's called for. I think it's called for, maybe in a way even more so than last year. Just because last year was the first year without Diggs, and you might have felt like a little panicky about it, so you did it. But you're right back in the same spot. Coleman has not taken a step in his development. Curtis Samuel has not emerged and capitalized off of what he accomplished late last season and into the playoffs. The only constant you still have is Shakir, who's very dependable, but just there's a roof on that is not likely to go much higher than it ever has gotten so far. So that's a staple. And that is, it's a very good asset to have. The rest of their receiving core is what? It's dependent on Dalton Kincaid being able to play at this point. And he barely played yesterday. Now, you know, game script, maybe
they didn't need him.
They need him. So why push it, you know? But I just can't believe a contending level team would look at what their passing offense has looked like here on balance for the whole year. It's not just these last few games, and go, we're all set here. I just objectively, I mean, this is not like, you know, because a flag got planted back in April or anything. I think you look at this team and think receiver. You watch them play, you think receiver.
Everybody does, except maybe those who work there.
Maybe, but I strongly suspect many people who work there think the same thing.
And don't have the authority
to actually make the move.
Yeah. To speak up. There aren't that many teams. Okay, the deadline is later, but there still aren't that many teams that I think would be dumping. And then how many of those have somebody you care about? New Orleans is obvious. 1-7. They should be thinking that way, right? They should be.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Like, the Giants have Darius Slayton, who's an interesting, I think he's more of an ex-receiver. Like, he's interesting. I think he's pretty good, and maybe he's what we want. They've lost Neighbors. They've now lost Scataboo, if that matters. They're running back. Coach might be coaching for his job, if you will. The quarterback's a rookie. How is it worth it for them to trade anybody they have left? There's always these other variables. New Orleans may be just fine, whatever. maybe Cleveland is this. Maybe Jerry Jeudy is this. And thanks to him for 0-0-0 yesterday in that game with a losing game script all day. Like that guy might be just a headache. Once in a while he pops, but are we going to the Browns again for their number one guy like last year? There just really aren't that many possible fits. So, well, I mean, we're not here to try to figure out how this is all going to play out. We don't know. But it is interesting that they could win a game by so much and have so many of us still asking the same questions. And it's always interesting to me to think about whether the Bills are asking these same questions. Like, maybe they are. I wonder about Allen. I wonder about, you're talking about McDermott, like whether they know they need to fix something or whether they don't think that at all and they think they want to be mad at anybody who does. Since Brady took over in the regular season, they are 23-6. And that includes last year's week 18 that they didn't care about. 23-6. Do they think they have a problem? My position has been since it started with Brady that they don't. And that's served me okay. Going into last season, then going into this season, do the Bills seem like a team that would want to reinvent themselves? No. They have, you know, been very successful. They lose by a play in the playoffs and they give up 32 points. It's just never seemed, well, I guess logical enough to me to think that they would want to really just sort of recalibrate their offense. And I think I still want to be there.
I would want to join you there because I don't think recalibrating is different than reinvention. I already said, and strongly, I don't think they would want to run less than they're running. I just think they would recognize they need to be better when they want to throw, when they need to throw.
What's that worth, though, to them in terms of a cost?
I mean, it really, to me, depends on availability. I mean, I don't know. You want to ask me that question? Because, like, if the Saints, you know, they're just playing hard to get about Chris Olave, but if you worked in your first-round pick next year, they'd talk to you, then I would want to bring that up. I would want to bring that to the table. That's a young enough player, eligible for an extension, that to me could solve this for the very present right now, which is what matters the most. I'm not against renting somebody that I don't have to commit to and paying a lower price, but I would burn that asset.
What about Brian Thomas? Of course.
Yeah.
Because he... Well, Olave, I guess, too, but
I would want to make sure that there isn't something else with Thomas, you know, that I'm never going to find out about from out here that explains what's happening. Like, is he just not love football anymore? Is he nightclub guy or something? Like, what's going on really there on the ground in Jacksonville?
They're not going to tell you.
No.
But somebody else has to tell you.
The Bills should be able to find that out. And as long as that is not, you know, that's not a problem, then, yeah, same conversation. You know, what is it going to take? I want to get into this car. What do I got to pay you?
We'll keep talking after the break. Part of this is it is about the short term maybe first, but it's also, you know, these are ideas where you are doubling down like immediately
right
on an alpha receiver contract, which I mean, if it's not the other thing too, which is the thing that they have publicly avoid it. Like, they don't want that. If they wanted that, I think they would have been there by now. They would have said it. They'd be talking about how they really, it's not everybody eats. It's the opposite. One guy eats. Like, that's what they are not about. And this, any of these trades, not Shaheed maybe, but some of these trades are a seismic shift in philosophy that's more than just like, well, I still want to give James Cook 22 touches, but maybe this guy I'm going to trade for is going to be open. I don't think it can be both. I think it has to be a move in a certain direction philosophically. And they just, I think, win too much and too easily to expect that to be what they're shooting for. I mean, they might not get a deal done, but they wanted to. I mean, we won't know that if that's how it ends. 803-0550, Football Monday. Eric Wood at 4, Sal at 5, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I know the value of being a two-dimensional offense. I love the run game. I don't think I've ever said that. I do value physical football. And it starts up front, whether you're throwing it or you're running it. So I will say that I love physical football. And that's where the game starts. And our front did a great job today.
It is interesting. That's from Sean McDermott's post-game press conference. And that was really early in the press conference. They just come off the field winning 40-9. And the second half, I mean, I spent most of the second half trying to find something in the building that could help me charge my computer. Like, I was McDermott, he was probably still on the sideline, but I mean, this game. So he was ready to say that.
Well, the question, I got this off of Joe Biscaglia's piece from the game at The Athletic. The reporter, and Joe didn't name who it was, and I didn't go back and listen, so I don't know if I'd even be able to tell if I could even hear it anyway, because that's often a problem with those things. The way Joe wrote it up, the reporter said in the course of asking a question about, you know, James Cook's big day, you know, we know you love the run.
Or right. Something.
And he to me, that's not nothing, that he wanted to raise his hand 40-9 and like, actually, I never said that. Here, let me clarify exactly what I love.
Which he probably has said that.
I don't know.
But he had it on his mind. It was like right there in his pocket.
That's why I think that I love two-dimensional. I know. I recognize the value in having two-dimensional offense. I feel like that's as close as you're going to get to, I'm almost going to say, any NFL head coach in a post-game news conference after you've just won 40-9. Raising his hand and saying, I want more. that I saw some things today, even though we won 40-9, that I don't think are good enough.
Well, it could reveal conflict from within the organization.
Sure.
About like what they're all trying to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because of course he has said in 8 years he likes the running game or loves it. Of course he would, just in passing, he would have said that. But no one's quoting him. It's benign. It's like, just, I know you love to run the ball, you know, basically because all coaches do. And what a game you got. The question is very friendly, like they all are.
Right.
After games. And he's there to say, hold on.
I don't want my name on that right now.
I didn't say that.
At least not right now, I don't. You know, whatever. We can go back through the annals and see if he ever said it. But the point is, I don't want to say he was ready to pick a fight about it, but he was ready to clarify. And I think at the time, in that moment, distance himself from the idea that he is why they don't throw the ball.
Yeah, I think that might be right.
So that's,
it is a little weird.
That is not that's not insignificant at all to me.
Yeah, it is a little weird that you would win a game that big and just have anything like that in mind when you sit down.
Yeah.
Like that is the point he wanted to get across maybe yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I came away from that with. And I did not, I mentioned Joe already. I'm glad that he included that in his piece, his game story that I read this morning. As we sat, you know, we listened to McDermott talk. He's, you know, usually in the first half hour of our post-game show. And I don't know if it's because that came so early that I did not notice that when we were airing that yesterday afternoon.
803-0550, Eric Wood at 4. Here is Pete. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, question for you. Just something I've noticed. Just seem a little odd that, you know, we have a good head coach who yesterday called the defense, and the defense played well. And unfortunately, you know, ever since Daboll left, we've lost, you know, Ken Dorsey. Now we have this gentleman now. Brady, but the same issues are always there. Is it, in your opinion, our coach telling our coordinators how he wants that offense called? And what you just said a couple minutes ago just sort of surprised me, because that was my question. Because it's sort of strange that we have a quarterback who, I mean, I think he is the best dual threat quarterback, not per se the best pure passing quarterback. And okay, we might not have the best talent around him. I will agree with that. But schematically, there has to be something more than what I'm seeing or what we're seeing. And I'm wondering, do you think it's time for them to just go get an offensive coordinator who helps some, you know, has pouts on the wall, so to say, that can actually help Josh mature and not someone who, you know, Josh wants there?
Well, that recognizing that they did make a change at the position, you know, halfway or two-thirds of the way through a season, two seasons ago now, I don't think that's a pivot here. I think you have a talent issue is what you have. And no, I don't think Sean McDermott purposely tells Joe Brady, I want to be terrible at throwing the ball. I mean, I know that's not what you exactly said, but that is kind of the vibe I get from a lot of this is what McDermott wants. He wants to not be good at passing. No, he wants to have a two-dimensional offense. He's wanted this running game. I think it has served them well. It came at a time when the league was getting very proficient at taking away a lot of the explosive plays, and they had a pivot ready, and they've capitalized on it. But that does not, to me, mean, and it has never meant, that he doesn't want to be good at throwing the ball with this quarterback. I think they just don't have enough guys right now, skill players on the outside, to make a difference. And I think the head coach knows it.
No one would ever not want to be good at something. I think it's more a question of how much of it they want there to be. How good it is dictates how much of it. What do we want to be? And I still want to say, I think in the word that people use most often for this, identity, is pretty close to how McDermott would want it. But does he want to have more guys open? Does he want Keon Coleman to show up for work on time? Does he want players to be able to separate better? Does he want his coordinator to scheme up different things? I think all of that could all be yes answers to those questions. But in the end, I still don't think anything dramatic is what he's gunning for or, you know, hoping for this year. I still think, you know, I kind of want to say that even in the last 2 weeks after two straight losses, you know, I want to be consistent. And people were calling in, you know, it's sports radio, so of course they're calling in with crazy, you know, negative thoughts sometimes. Oh, coaching changes, these kinds of things. Didn't this guy even do that? Like making a coordinator change right now after a 40-9 win? I mean, I don't think we're there. I don't think anything dramatic is really going to change here. I think they could add somebody, and that would look good. And it might end up being, I mean, hopefully better than what Amari Cooper turned out to be.
That's what you got to be shooting for. Yeah.
Right, but not that significant in how they play.
Right, exactly. I don't think they're going to throw it more. I think they just should try to get better at when they are actually going to throw it.
Okay, but and I don't want them to not do that either. But to what extent will it matter? Is it really just going to be about that one play in January against Kansas City or somebody else? And then they hopefully will have somebody that can do it?
I mean, not to boil it down to too fine a point, but yeah, kind of. Right? They signed Von Miller to a six-year, $120 million contract. Because they felt like not only did they need to get quarterbacks on the ground, but they needed to get a certain quarterback on the ground at a certain point in a game. They even talked about him being a closer. He's here to sack Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter, idealized, of playoff games. Turned out that they never got to one where he could do that for you. Or I guess he would have been on the field eventually. But you know what I'm saying? Like he started out here. He had a big impact in the regular season game in Kansas City that first year he was here. And then he got hurt. And that was pretty much the end of that. But they went out and spent all of that for that. For that moment. For that drive up three with a minute to go at Arrowhead. So, yeah. You could go spend whatever asset you need to spend. Now, that wasn't draft picks. That was just money, and maybe that's – I think it is a lot easier for clubs to part with. You know, we've got mountains of cash. We only have a finite number of picks and assets that we can use to replenish. So, you know, parting with that is not – I don't want to be too flippant about it. But, yeah, I think you get it. So you've got the juice to get one more first down. And get one more scoring drive and hopefully get one more playoff win.
Yeah, or two.
Right, right. Thank you.
Donald is next. Hello. Donald.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to cover a couple things that I thought after watching that game yesterday. I think Hoyt and Ogunjobi make a huge difference on our defense. I'm very excited about them. But what do you guys think about that?
Sure, yes. What else?
Yeah, that was a big thing that stood out yesterday, especially Hoyt.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of ticks me off, though, is the malpractice of us not using Tyrell Shavers. Everyone wants to complain that we don't have a wide receiver one on this team, talk about getting Chris Olave. When Tyrell Shavers really hasn't been giving the opportunity yet.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he could be our Josh Doan.
Josh Doan? Like the Sabres guy?
Yeah, like the difference that Josh Doan is making for the Sabres, I think that's Tyrell Shavers for the Bills.
Well, I don't. I mean, maybe you're right, but I don't. I mean, this is a low-round draft pick who couldn't crack the lineup for 2 years, and now he's playing in the absence of other players. He's not getting... Even if you're right, I doubt you're going to find out.
100% agree.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Eric Wood at 4. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.